You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, this is week number 13 in the conclusion of our series called Keys to Powerful Prayer. We've been talking about how to have a powerful prayer life, and we've been going over that week after week, looking at some different principles concerning prayer and about prayer and how to pray effectively. You know, God wants to answer your prayers, but you've got to pray His way. And so that's what we've been studying from the Word, is how to have an effective prayer life. The scripture, our foundational scripture that we've been reading every single week, James chapter 5 and verse 16, in the latter part of that verse says this, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One translation says that it makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And so that's what we're about, is having an effective prayer life. Now, prayer really is your communion and fellowship with God. It's you communicating with your Heavenly Father, and it's a two-way communication. It's an opportunity for Him to minister to us and to speak to our hearts, not audibly, but down here in our spirits, and to speak to us from the Word of God, what He desires for us to know and to hear. Now, today, as I promised, we're going to get very, very practical in some things. Maybe, you know, you're new to your walk with the Lord, and you don't know how to start to have an effective prayer life. You don't know how to start having a quiet time, or maybe, you know, some people call it a devotional time. And so we're going to get very practical today, talk about some of those things to help you get started in an effective prayer life. Now, I want to just tell you, you know, there are two spiritual disciplines that every believer ought to have in their lives. Number one is reading the Word of God. You need to spend time every day reading the Word of God. Now, as you'll find out as this message unfolds, length of time is not necessarily the object of what we're after. It's the quality of our time. So I'm not going to dictate to you and tell you how long you need to read the scriptures. You know, I encourage you to get a good Bible reading plan. You know, if you have the Bible app, download that from your application store, whether it's Google or iOS or whatever for your phone. And I encourage you, start a Bible reading plan. Now, myself, I do the through the year in a Bible, or through the Bible in a year, rather. In other words, by the time I start on January 1st and end on December 31st, I have read the entire Bible. And I find that very, very helpful for me, because I like the discipline of it, and I like the fact that every time I read it, I see something that I didn't see before, and God is constantly bringing revelation to my life through that. And then the other thing that I do, every month I read through the book of Proverbs. There's a Bible reading plan for that, where you read one chapter from Proverbs every day. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, and on the months that have 31 days, it's just one chapter a day. For those shorter months, you might have to read two in one day, but you get the point. And so it is something that we need to be disciplined about. You need to spend time in the Word every single day. The second discipline that we all ought to have in our lives is prayer. And again, you know, whether you're starting brand new or wherever you are in your prayer life, quantity is not the idea. Quality is the idea. So if you have time, spend as much time as you want to. I know some people, you know, you might be a single parent, and you've got things going on with your children, and your life is busy, and do what you can. Fit time in when you can. And so we'll talk more about this in just a little bit. All right, so let's cover, first of all, I want to unravel some myths that people might have regarding a prayer time, having a quiet time before the Lord, and and just go over these things so we can get this off the table to begin with, all right? Here's number one, that you can only have a prayer time from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. And that absolutely is not true. You know, I know that there are a lot of people that like to start their day with prayer time in the morning. And ideally, that would be the best because you're setting your tone for the day. And David wrote many times in the Psalms, he told the Lord, he said, early in the morning, I will seek you. And so what you're doing is you're setting your tone for the day. You're establishing how things are going to go for the day, and you're putting the Lord first. But if you cannot do it in the morning, if you work third shift and you come home and you are dog tired, then you need to go to bed and then get up and do it later on before you go into work again. And, you know, heaven does not close at 7 a.m. Heaven doesn't close at noon. Heaven doesn't close at 7 p.m. So whenever you establish your quiet time, whatever time of day that happens to be, I promise you, heaven will be open. God's ear will be attuned to whatever you're talking with Him about, and it can be a very fruitful time. Now, here's another myth that I want to just, again, eradicate, and that's this. Your prayer time must last at least an hour. Well, there, to be honest with you, there's nothing in the scripture that mandates that your prayer time has to be an hour. You know, there's a scripture in when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, with the disciples, and it was just a few hours before he was arrested and then crucified and so forth. And he went to pray. And he came back and he found his disciples asleep, and he asked them the question, could you not watch or pray with me 1 hour? And some people have taken that and extracted that and meant and applied it to everybody and said the only way your prayer life can be effective is if you pray for an hour every single day. And you know what? For some people, that's just not practical. And so what I want you to understand is, again, it's not about the length of time that you pray. It's not about the length of time that you read your Bible. It's about the quality of that time. So if you have 15 minutes to do both, then spend part of the time reading the scripture, spend part of the time in prayer. But again, it's developing that discipline and making sure that you're fitting some time in every day to be able to do that. So again, it's the quality of your prayer time, not the quantity of your prayer time. Here's myth number three. Your prayer time must sound like your favorite preacher. You know, maybe we've heard our favorite preacher talk about his private or his personal prayer life. And so what we have a tendency to do is to begin to think that that's the way our prayer life needs to be. And listen, that's not true. Let me share a quick story with you. Many years ago, a great pastor, man, he is an awesome pastor, an awesome preacher, one of the best preachers of the Word of God that I know. And I had the privilege, along with some musicians and others, that we went with him to minister in a crusade in another city. And I'm telling you, it was one of the most effective messages I have ever heard. And it was an effective time preaching the gospel. And I remember I went up to him afterwards, and I truly meant this. I truly meant it as a compliment as well. But I said this to him. I said, Pastor, I wish God would let me preach like you. And he looked at me and just as straight and quick as he possibly could. And he said, I don't. He said, you need to preach like you preach. You need to be who God's called you to be. And you know what? It's exactly the same where your prayer life is concerned. Don't try and model your prayer life after your favorite preacher. I can promise you, they have worked hard on developing their prayer life that works for them, fits their personality, fits their schedule. And you will only end up in frustration if you try and model your prayer time after somebody that you've heard on television or maybe myself or another pastor or something like that. No, here's the key. Find out how you need to structure your prayer time between you and the Lord, because that's really who it's all about. Now, as I often do, I encourage you to keep a prayer journal. And, I want you to write your requests down. I encourage you to write down when the Lord answers your prayer and, keep that written before you so you can go back and you can refer to it again and again and again. But don't box yourself in and think that if you were to go back and read your journal and your prayer journal, what you have written down, that it needs to sound like scripture. In other words, extremely formal, structured. No, write down what is in your heart, the prayers that you and God have talked about, and keep it like that. Keep it where it is relevant to you. And listen, it's not for anybody else's eyes. You are praying to an audience of one, your Heavenly Father. And so your journal is between you and Him and how He ministers to you. And so I don't want us to fall into a trap that really we have to model everything after somebody else. Yeah, we can extract certain things from other people, but don't fall into the trap of thinking that your prayer life has to mimic somebody else's. Now, I want to give you some steps on how to start a prayer life. All right. And these are very practical. I'm going to be very down to earth with these things. So I want you to get them and begin to apply these things in your heart. Here's number one, quiet or clear your mind. Quiet or clear your mind. You're going to have to go into your prayer time without your mind screaming at you at the top of its lungs, trying to vie for your attention, fighting for your attention all the time. And so, it's very possible that your life is very busy, but you're going to have to discipline yourself in order to quiet your mind. Let me read a scripture to you from Psalm 131, verse 2, and I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. And the psalmist said this, "I am humbled and quieted in your presence. Like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap, I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you." Now, this is going to take some effort on your part, but you're going to have to get your mind quieted down. There's a couple of helpful things that I'll tell you in just a moment. But let me read another scripture to you. This is from the NIV, Psalm 62, verse 1 and verse 5 in that same psalm, Psalm 62. And it says this, David wrote and he said, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." Now, let me remind you, your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. He's not talking about physical rest here. He's talking about rest in your mind. And some of us are so wrapped up and our minds are going 90 miles an hour, and you've got to discipline yourself. Somebody said, "But Pastor, I didn't know that I could discipline myself." Well, you absolutely can. Tell your mind to shut up. David said that in Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, soul." He said, "Bless the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord with everything within me," David said. So you're going to have to remind your soul that your spirit is boss and let it take control over your mind. In verse 1 again, it says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him." And then verse 5 in that same psalm, "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him." Now, I can promise you this. The moment you sit down and you decide, you know what, I'm going to spend a few moments in prayer, I can promise you that that's going to be the time when your soul comes up with everything that you need to do that day. It's going to come up with everything you need on your grocery list. It's going to come up with all the chores that need to be done around the house. And so that's why I recommend start with Bible reading, because what you'll do is you'll start getting your mind focused on the Lord when you're reading the scripture. But I promise you, that's gonna be a fight that you're gonna have to face. You know, there are two things that you're gonna fight when you decide I'm gonna have an effective prayer life. Number one, it's going to be your mind, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And number two, it's gonna be your flesh. Your flesh does not like sitting still in the presence of God, but it can be trained to do that. Naturally speaking, your flesh wants to be going all the time and busy, distracted, doing other things. Well, you're going to have to discipline your flesh, make it sit down and be quiet in the presence of God and focus on the Lord. So as your spirit grows and matures, your soul will begin to lose control. Even though it might throw a fit and try and rebel against you, your spirit will gain ascendancy over your mind, over those thoughts, over those feelings. And then here's something that I have found helpful for me, and that is this. I keep a piece of paper close by me. And if a thought just keeps coming up over and over and over again, what I do is, if it's something like a shopping list or a chore, whatever, I just get that piece of paper and I write it down real quick. You know, that doesn't offend the Lord. It doesn't interrupt the Holy Spirit. And what you've done is you put it on a piece of paper so you don't have to think about it anymore. All right. So take that time and quiet your mind. Here's the second thing that you have to do. You have to focus your mind. So once you begin to quiet your mind down, quiet your soul down, then you're going to have to focus it on the Lord. Now, personally, I have found one of the best ways to do this is through music. I usually find some worship music, some instrumental worship music primarily, that will help focus my mind on the Lord and the things of God. You know, I guarantee you, if you work in an office environment, I would venture to say there probably is some background music somewhere, and that is it's designed to create an atmosphere. They, you know, at the dentist office or in the elevator, let's say, you know, they don't play music just to play music. They play music to create an atmosphere so that people will remain calm and continue to function well, and just to create an atmosphere of productivity. And so what you can do is you can create your own atmosphere of worship. And by the way, if you've got a smartphone and you can download a music app, man, there are tons and tons of music apps available. And then there is tons of music that's available on those apps that you can download and you can play that will minister to you and help you get your heart and mind focused on the Lord. Listen to what David said in the 108th Psalm. He said this, "My heart, O God, is quiet and confident all because of you. Now I can sing my song with passionate praises. Awake, O my soul, with the music of his splendor." So once you have begun to get your mind quieted down, you've got that worship music playing, let it begin to focus your attention on the Lord. And the reason I recommend instrumental music is because when you begin to pray, it's going to be hard for you to pray when there's vocal singing on the music as well. But if that works for you, go for it. The 49th Psalm, verses 3 and 4 in the Passion, says this, "For wisdom will come from my mouth, words of insight and understanding will be heard from the musings of my heart. I will break open mysteries with my music, and my song will release riddles solved." Isn't that interesting? David said, "I will break open mysteries with my music, and my song will release riddles solved." Did you know music and worship can help bring revelation and insight to you. It can create an atmosphere where you're focused on the things of God and focused on the Lord Himself, and revelation, the lights will begin to come on the inside of you. And He says, my song will release riddles solved. You know, a lot of times answers to our problems can be found in worship, because what you're doing is you're creating an atmosphere and giving the Lord an opportunity to speak to you and minister to you down in your spirit. All right. Now, sometimes, let me back up. Let me ask you a question rhetorically, because I know I can't hear you. But anyway, have you ever woken up in the morning and one of the first things that pops into your mind is a song? You know, it might be a secular song, might be a Christian song, but you know, what you can do is you can determine what song is in your heart and in your mind when you first wake up. And what will happen sometimes is the Lord will give you a song. I mean, I've woken up sometimes and a worship song will pop up into my thinking. Now, that didn't come from the devil. It didn't come from my flesh. That came up out of my spirit by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord sometimes will minister to you and give you a song. Now, what He's asking you to do and wanting you to do is put that song in your mouth and begin to worship Him and sing it back to Him. Somebody says, well, I can't sing. Well, then do like the scripture says and make a joyful noise if you have to. And by the way, let me say this to you. When you sing to the Lord, now this is in your private time and in a public service, God does not hear your voice per se. He hears your heart. And if your heart is worshiping towards Him, listen, your singing can be awful, but you know what? It can minister to the heart of the Lord. And so I want you to know that. So here's number three. Pray about when you begin to focus on the Lord, when you've set that atmosphere, then begin to pray about what is on your heart. You know, we all have things that are on our heart, and it could be that it differs day to day, depending on what's going on. Maybe, you know, the day before you got some news about a situation that needs prayer. Well, if that's still weighing on your heart, then pray about that situation. Maybe you have a situation in your life that you need to pray about. Well, if that's on your heart, then pray about that. And you know, I want to just, it's great to have a prayer list. You know, I have family members and people that I pray for on a list. But I want to encourage you with something. Don't get so focused and rigid with that list that you don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to pray about something else. Because here's what you need to understand is that what's on that prayer list may not be exactly what's on your heart for that day. Now, you remember our foundation scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16 in the Passion. He said this, confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another. And then here's a key, pray for one another to be instantly healed, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. See, you really only pray fervently and passionately about what is in your heart, not just a list, not just vain repetitions, Jesus said. Now, there's nothing selfish about praying over those areas of your life when you don't have anything on your heart at that time. But if you have something that's weighing on your heart, man, lift that up before the Lord. Pray about that situation. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, again in the Passion. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. You know what? God can't minister to you about what you don't first bring to Him. You know, He's a perfect gentleman. And if you want to hold on to that and try and figure it out for yourself and solve your problems, God will let you do that. You're foolish if you do, because we're not that smart. But if you'll take the time and lift that up and listen, I want to say this. I just feel prompted in my heart to say this. There's no issue. There's no request too small or too great for you to pray about. Don't get in a mindset where you're like, I'll take care of the small things and then I'll let God take care of the big stuff. No, if it's weighing on your heart, lift it all up before Him. The goal is to bring it all to Him so that we're like the scripture says, and we let God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding become real to us. And then the latter part of that verse sounds just like what we read up in the Psalms when it says that God will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus when you pray about them. And so it is important that you pray about those things. Now, let me give you a couple of pointers about prayer. Here's the first one. Prayer is talking to God like you would talk to anyone else. Don't get religious in your prayer. Don't change your tone. Don't change how you pray. You know, don't switch over and start praying old King James English. No, pray like you would pray, because God hears you when you're not praying King James English, just like he tries to hear you when you're speaking Elizabethan English. No, talk to God like you would talk to your dearest friend. All right. And if you will pour out your stresses on God in the morning to start your day, it'll amaze you how it will help you be stress-free throughout the rest of the day. And then God will give you wisdom on how to handle the situation that is causing stress in your life. Now, here's number four in establishing a prayer life, and that is this: always make sure that you pray for someone else. You know, it can be a trap where we have a tendency to focus on me and mine and that's all. You know, like Brother Hagin used to say, you're like the old farmer where he said, I pray for me, my wife, my son John and his wife, us four and no more. And so don't become like that. No, open up your heart. And if God leads you, pray for someone else. Now, don't feel like you got to pray for everybody in the world, but pray for someone else, because what this will help you do is get the eyes off of yourself and focused on someone else's need. And that is always beneficial to us. Always will help you to focus on someone else's need and praying about that need being met. There's a lot that can happen when we pray for someone in our lives. Again, that scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16, he said, pray for one another that you may be healed. So if you know of somebody else that's dealing with sickness and disease, pray for their healing. If you're needing healing in your life, pray for their healing. As you stand in faith, help them stand in faith and pray for them. You know, I'm reminded in Job chapter 42 and verse 10 in the New Living Translation, after everything that Job went through all throughout the entire book of Job, the book begins to wrap up and it says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. So again, number one, quiet or focus or clear your mind. Clear your mind. Quiet your mind down. Tell your mind to shut up. Say, mind, we're going to get quiet right now. We're going to focus on the Lord. And that's number two, focus your mind on the Lord. And if you have to, play some music to help you create that atmosphere of prayer. You're going to find it hard to spend time in prayer if there's a lot of noise and distraction going on around you. You know, if you've got your phone and your computer open in front of you, I can promise you those things are going to start talking to you, telling you, you know, you're going to miss out on something if you don't look at us. You know, that's FOMO, fear of missing out. So learn to focus your mind on the Lord. Number three, pray about What is on your heart? What's weighing on your heart for that day? Well, lift that up before the Lord. Lift up that request. Pray in faith over that situation and believe God to move in your life. And then lastly, in connection with number three is number four, and that is pray for someone else. Pray for one other person during your prayer time. And that'll help you get your eyes off of you and your needs and focusing on you and selfishly praying for you all the time and get you to in a position where you can pray for someone else. Now, again, I want to just mention about Bible reading. Find you a Bible plan, Bible reading plan that works for you, works for your schedule. And again, I told you what I do is I read through the Bible every year, and then I read through Proverbs every month. So I've read through Proverbs 12 times once the year is over, and I've read through the entire Bible. But that's me. That's what I believe I'm supposed to do. And you need to find out what works for you, all right? And, you know, there will be prayer times when you read the Word and it doesn't seem like you're getting anything out of it. And then sometimes it will just jump off the page. Let me ask you a question. If you've ever been to the gym, or let me rephrase that, if you've ever exercised, how many of you know that there are times when exercise is not fun? Exercise does not feel good all the time. You know, you can go out and go for a walk and it's beautiful. The day is beautiful. The weather's beautiful. And it's just an enjoyable experience. And other times you can go for a walk when you really don't feel like going for a walk. And it's not all that pleasurable and that fun of an experience, but you need to do it anyway. Well, the same thing is true for reading the Bible and spending time in prayer. Sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it seems like work. But listen, do it anyway. Follow through with it and be consistent. Now, let me say this. Also, I feel this coming up in my heart. If you, let's say you do have a Bible reading plan that you're following, and let's say because of whatever circumstances arise and you miss a day or two or three or four, whatever the case might be, listen, Jesus didn't fall off the throne and he's not mad at you. No, do this. Just go back and catch up. I've done that before, you know, where things have come up and I have fallen behind in my Bible reading and prayer time. And, you know, don't go extended periods like that. But if it happens, it happens. And just, you know, if it's something where you didn't budget and plan your time effectively, just go to the Lord and say, Father, I'm sorry. I didn't plan effectively. I wasn't very disciplined. And I repent and ask you to forgive me. And then do this. If you're several days behind, just read, do 2 days at a time. And you'll eventually catch up, or if you have time, read several days at a time. Spend that time and get yourself caught up. But here's my point. Don't beat yourself up over that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and that includes where your Bible reading and prayer life are concerned. And so I want you to be able to have a good, strong prayer time, Bible reading time. Now remember, here's the goal of all of this. It's not so you can just check it off your to-do list. No, the goal for these things is to get to know your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to get to know Him better and to deepen your relationship with Him. That's the object. That's what you're after. And don't, you know, again, don't get rigorous and regimented with it and feel like, well, you know, I didn't do it today, so, you know, God's not going to be happy with me. No, God's pleased with you because of what Jesus did, not because of what you do. Now, you need to do right. You need to live right. And we need to learn to discipline ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, you are human. You live in a flesh body. You live in a fallen world. And there are going to be distractions that come up occasionally. And just do your best to work around those things, work through them, and keep them from distracting you and getting you away from your Bible reading time and your prayer time. Amen. I hope this has helped you today. I've wanted to be very practical in this and give you some things to help you get in a plan to read the Bible and to spend some time in prayer. Find what works for you and your relationship with the Lord. You know, God made you the way that you are. He wired you the way that you are, and He knows your personality. And so He'll work with you based on who you are and your personality. And so I want you to know that today and begin to implement this in your life. Somebody said, well, I'll wait till the first of the year. No, don't do that. Start now. Start now. It doesn't matter. Start now. All right, praise God. Well, let's pray and let's close our sermon today. Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. I hope that it's fallen into the hearts of your people and it resonates, Lord, and has caused light and revelation to come. I pray for every single person, Father, who makes up their mind that they're going to spend time in your word and spend time in prayer. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would assist them and help them, Lord, to become disciplined, to become consistent, to learn to discipline their minds, to quiet their minds, begin to worship you. And I thank you, Father, that as they do, the Spirit of God will cause light and revelation to flow into their lives. That, Father, you will minister to them. You said in your word that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I thank you, Father, that people will be renewed in their strength, Father, because of spending time in your presence. And Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it today. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, I never like to end our time without giving someone an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Listen, Jesus already paid the price for you. He's already shed his blood. He died on the cross. And we celebrated last weekend the resurrection of the Lord. And actually, it's not a one time a year event. It's something we celebrate every day. Because he is alive, we can live also. And so there is a new life waiting for you through Jesus Christ. And it's found in your relationship with God. And the only way that you can have a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people will try and tell you there's many ways to God. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he who comes to the Father must come through me. And so I want to invite you to let Jesus come into your life today. Make him the Lord of your life. Be born again and enter into the life that God has for you. Would you pray with me today? Just say this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I need you, Jesus. I want to make you my Lord. So I believe with all my heart that you died for me. And I believe with all my heart that you were raised from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my past. Give me a brand new beginning. Now, I thank you that you are the Lord of my life. Thank you that I am forgiven. Now fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, we believe you just got born again, and we're so proud of you. We're celebrating with you. And Jesus said this. He said that when one sinner repents, heaven rejoices. So I believe heaven is rejoicing right now because of the decision that you just made. But we love you so much. We're cheering you on, and we want you to know that we're so proud of you. Now, listen, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you let me know that you prayed that prayer with me? Just send a quick email to mystory@springhill.cc and just say, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Brad. And and we're not going to harass you, bombard you. We just want to let you know we love you, we're proud of you, and we're praying for you, and we want to help you on your journey as a brand new believer walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're so glad that you made that decision today, and we love you so much.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.